Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune it, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls.
Hey, hey girls. Welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is a very
husky Jenny.
She's been drinking so far, but I'm not husky.
I know. It's so annoying. My voice, I'm a voice loser. I'm a loser. I'm a loser, baby. But whenever I go out drinking and screaming, this is what happens.
Taking, smoking, fighting. You know, that's what we were doing.
Yes.
And thank you for watching my story.
Stunning t-shirt you're wearing, Lindsay, I must say.
Oh my god, isn't it so cool?
It's so cool. Where the fuck can I get it? Where can I buy it?
itgirlspodcast.com/merch, bitch. I'm wearing it with little black skinny jeans, so comfortable. A black on black outfit that still has loads of colour. So there are such minimal amounts of t-shirts left. We're thinking like 20.
Only size small and medium are left. I think there's like, as far as I know, I think there's like 13 small and 7 medium. So that is literally
no more runs. We're not printing this anymore. We're on to the next. This is the summer t-shirt. So
go buy.
They're gone. So yeah, go to our website and buy them. They are sexy as fuck, and you are part of a crew when you're wearing them. Like, so many people have bought them. Thank you so much to everyone who has purchased them.
We're We're like busy little elves this week, packing them all up for you guys. And also, about a month too late, actually longer than a month, about 6 weeks too late, fucking Shopify have finally approved our payments account, so you can now pay with Visa or like whatever other Visa debit card you have. So if you didn't have PayPal and you weren't able to get PayPal for whatever reason, you can now pay with your card. So head on over, itgirlspodcast.com/merch, get the tea, you won't regret it.
You will not take our summer. So we have a Q&A for you girls. It's been a minute, and we opened up our Tumblr,
which we only do once a month now. So we used to always have it open, but we always just found it really hard to kind of whittle it down to just the questions that were, first of all, of this time. Sometimes it was like, there could have been a great question, but it was asked like 6 weeks ago. So this time what we do is 20...
And also we were getting shitloads of hate. Like, I mean, that is the place, because it's anonymous. Some of you like to just waste your damn time trying to wreck our heads. Thank fuck we had our weekend without Tumblr being open, because
we would have been destroyed. But yeah, so we opened that up 24 hours before recording. It's now closed. You'll have to wait another month, but you guys came through on the questions as per usual.
Yeah, good questions, girls, as always. And we will save some for maybe X-Girls or another podcast. Like, if we don't get through yours, we might be using it for another podcast, a whole episode, because there was lots of good ones.
There was. Okay, so shall we begin? Shall we get straight into it, hon?
Let's rock on.
I've got a good one. So we're starting off strong, okay? Hey, gals. My best friend has essentially broken up with me, and I have no idea why. She said that I have a habit of making, quote-unquote, comments towards her, but my other friends have assured me that I've just been making lighthearted jokes, as we all have to each other all the time. I have no idea why she's become so sensitive recently, and eventually it got to the point where I couldn't seem to do or say anything right in her eyes. How can I tell if I'm being a bitch or she is just touchy? Every bitch's dilemma.
Oh honey, you came to the right place.
But how, I mean, okay, first of all, let's talk about this aspect of it, because there is kind of two sides to this story. How annoying is it when there is just one friend who like just can't get with the program on the like banter between besties? It is annoying when you just have that one friend who just gets so highly sensitive when, like, especially when it's like all of a sudden they get like that, when they used to be down with it, and then all of a sudden they're like, you're making comments towards me.
It disappoints me in fucking, I just get a bit disappointed when I hear this shit, because I'm like, women should be able to speak their mind, they should be able to be assertive, they should be able to hold each other accountable in friendships, and it doesn't have to be like, you know, shouldn't get a finger pointed at you like, you're a fucking bitch. Like, sometimes in friendships come either just jokey comments, which are purely just like for lols and, you know, lighthearted picking at each other, which is a very Irish thing. And like, I don't understand if you can't handle a wee bit of schlagging.
It's like banter. It's very inherently Irish. And, you know, it's not that you have, like, everyone has boundaries. You know, every single person, like, there's some stuff, but like, you find out your boundaries by getting slagged because you're like, actually, that was a bit too far. And you just move on from it. You know, that way, like, we've all done it where you've slagged a friend and you've said something like a little bit too fucking racy.
Sometimes, depending on, like, you know, if people are respecting your boundaries or whatever. So, like, say if you're like, oh, no, I don't like joking about that, or oh, I don't like that word or whatever. And if your friends are like, oh, like, there's two types of people who handle that shit. So, like, I've seen it within groups. So there's the kind of group who, like, is like, oh, no, I really hate that. I hate that conversation. Can we move on? It just, I love to live, laugh, love, but that is just too much. And the gals can be like, oh, okay, okay. And they won't do it anymore. But then there's the other type of people who, like, really like when people start getting irritated a bit. And they kind of, like,
just wind up merchants.
Yeah. So, like,
but it's also like, that's fucking life, baby. Welcome to the party. You know what I mean? Like, you're not, like, I remember hearing a term before and they were like, offense is always given. You know, that way, like, or offense, is it offense? Like, again, most with sayings. It's like, it's offense is taken. It's never given. Like, you can't, like, really be giving offense to people. Offense is only something on the one person who takes it. And, like, we all navigate through life, like, you know, not knowing what's around the corner, what someone's going to say to us. Like, there's no trigger warning with walking down Grafton Street. There's no trigger warning with getting on the dart and hearing people have mental conversations. So, like, yes, there could be a conversation, you know, and I'm talking in general terms, not like extreme offense, you know, that could be a bit like, oh God, I hate talking about that. Like, so literally sometimes there people will be, I'll be around people and they're telling me like some sort of like surgery story. And I'm like, oh God, oh God. But like, you just push on past and get over it, babes. You don't like, you don't always have the right to like, you know, that your offense is more important than what other people's conversation is having, especially if like a group of your friends are having a convo and you're the one to be like, stop it, stop it, I don't like this conversation, stop it now, we're having dinner and I wanted to be able to rule what everyone. It's like that, I find that offensive, and I find that a fucking,
I think there's
the
a
hole.
Difference. I think like there's some things that have to be like, I mean, I remember in our WhatsApp group, like there has been so much conversation about COVID.
Mute was, baby, you'd press the mute button. That's what I would do, you know.
Well, I'm telling you what I was doing, but like what I, how I handled it was just, it was relentless. We were all getting more and more anxious about it every day. I was actively trying to just not consume any COVID shit. I was staying in my gaff. I was doing whatever I had to do, but I just couldn't handle the talking about the cases, talking about it was so fucking mind-numbingly boring and negative and depressing. And I was like, guys, this is our WhatsApp group. We're consuming COVID shit in our daily, on the news, everywhere. Can we just keep this for a little bit of a light place? And if not, and then like half the group were like not, you know, wanting to talk about it either. And I did just mute it. And I kind of, you know, was at one point considering leaving. This is not the one I share with you. It's my original one.
Yeah.
It's like my home gals. And yeah, like, I mean, I would have just left. But this is what I'm thinking. If this girl didn't like the comments, didn't she just opt out of the friendship? If she was just maybe getting like, you have to like, sometimes we can be hanging around people. It happened to me years ago where like, if I'd be hanging around my gal pals and we'd be like bitching and like having this kind of like real racy conversation and like saying mad shit, and then like I'd be enjoying it in the moment, and then I'd come home and be like, ugh, I'd know I'm feeling a bit of a like a deflation after hanging out with these people. I don't think it's a positive aspect to my life. You know, I do think that sometimes you can be around people and you are allowed fucking chill friendships that don't make you feel great.
You are, yeah, but I think you also, depending on the level of the friendship, like you know, you can't, like, you can exit from a WhatsApp group, say, for example, but like there's other aspects of your life. Like, say you are in a big group of friends where like it is probably the more emotion mature thing for both parties to try and resolve it. Like, for this girl to hear that girl girl's reasons, and instead of just going to her other friends being like, did I do anything, and then being like, no, you didn't do anything, and then accepting that for truth. Like, don't just go to people who are going to be yes men to you, who you probably know are going to agree with you.
Yeah, I agree. And you don't also, like, know what they're saying to the other friend. They, yeah, could be like, look, at the end of the day, did I think that was a bit too far? Yeah.
Yeah, like, for both of these girls, it's like, and I, we don't know if this has happened or not, but I'm like, surely you should both try and resolve your issues without it having to be this, like, I do find that kind of also can instill, like, a huge amount of, like, drama in girlfriend groups, where one person's like, I'm not hanging out with that one person anymore because, like, they did this thing. And it's just like, like, you know, if it's not going to matter in 5 months, 5 minutes, or 5 years, like, why are we, you know, the fact that she got slagged, that you got highlights a few times or something, you know, if it's some sort of, like, very light that she's making it out to be. So I'm just taking her, it kind of sounds like she's like, they're all like, have a bit of a slag. Like, she's not saying that, like, you know, she's bringing up triggering conversations or, like, mm-hmm. bringing up, like, past trauma. So she said lighthearted things, and this girl is sensitive. Now, sensitivity, you know, runs on a spectrum. What I couldn't find, someone as sensitive, you know, someone else could be like, no, they're completely allowed to have that. And that's just fucking life again.
Mm.
But, like, you know, they need to, it's just a bit immature sometimes. If you haven't tried to resolve things to an extent, like, fair enough, if you've tried to resolve things over and over and it's going fucking nowhere, then yeah, of course, you can be like, look, this isn't, we're not seeing eye to eye. We have to kind of take a step away from this friendship. But it's like, you know, I feel like a lot of, like, you know, this is a lot in relationships at the moment, and I see it seeping into friendships in, like, society these days, is that we're very, like, cut and dry. You know, the way it's like, that's not working, no. This is working, yes. But then the minute it doesn't work anymore, fucking throw it out the window. You know, that way it's like, friendships are relationships too. And you would work through a lot of these issues with a boyfriend. So why would you not give your friend the time of day to work through it with them?
Well, I think if we're going to help this girly whirly out, I think where she's going wrong is discussing it with her other friends.
Mm.
Because that makes it, like, you know,
gossip.
Yeah, it makes it gossipy. And then, like, you know, you're not, I hate in groups when it's like, in a girl group, say there's five of you and two of the girls have an issue with each other,
mm-hmm.
it should be between them.
Absolutely.
No one else should be putting in their two cents. No one else should be, I think this, I think she's being a bit too sensitive, I don't think she, like, it's not your business. If someone has an issue with one person, one-on-one, they need to meet up. Hopefully the girl would be reciprocal to that and sort it out and hash it out between themselves, because it is so annoying when, like, there's a hiccup with two girls and it does affect...
Oh, it has such a ripple effect.
...the whole
effect.
Group. So you need them to come to some... Like, you and her need to come to some form of, like, closure together. Like, whether it's like, oh, I didn't mean that. Oh, I was having a hard week, blah, blah, blah. Or whether it's, I don't really enjoy your company anymore for whatever reason.
And
I
it just can need be to, awkward as fuck.
And I think it just is like, okay, well, then you need to figure out how to maneuver your joint friendships again.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know... It happens in girl groups and guy groups, but mainly girl groups, you know, where this, like, shit starts and then it's like you were saying, okay, well, we can't invite her. She's not been invited. And then it's we're all gossiping about the girl that's not there. It's like so mortifying.
And it's just like everyone having a fucking shoe in on something that's not their business. You know, like, what could have probably, like, I always look at, like, you know, lad groups in these regards and I'm like, this would never happen, so why does it happen with women? You know, the way, like, men would just be like, well, I mean, obviously I don't want this happening either, but usually if someone slagged you for, someone would get a dig and then it would be just kind of randomly over. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that you have to, like, go to fisticuffs. I'm calling for violence.
Knock her lights out, babes.
But knock her lights out. But what I am saying is that, like, you know, be able to, everything doesn't have to be this, like, massive, like, huge deal in a friendship group. Like, these little things can happen and it's how you choose to, like, address them. So, like, even if you feel like that she's ended it, she's essentially broken up with you, as you said.
Now, see, that's where I'm kind of like, okay, there are times in friendships, and I have really realized this in the past couple of years, where, like, you can have almost mini relationships with your friends, and, like, there's one particular friend that you're hanging out with more, you know, for, like, a certain length of time, like, say 6 months, you just happen to be, like, hanging out with this one girl way more, you're really close, but then something in your life might change, they might get a new job or whatever, and then you're not hanging out as much. That doesn't mean that you're essentially broken up. Sometimes you have, like, a friendship's ebbs and flows. That's why they are different to relationships.
That's why I take, for example, that she's had words in some regard. If she says the girl is, like, as in the, I feel like she got a text or something being like, I don't really want to be friends with you anymore, you make comments about me all the time. she kind of says it in it. She said that I have a habit of making comments towards her. So I guess they've had some sort of a bit of a conflict around this. It hasn't just been a like, oh, we used to hang out loads, now we don't.
For me, it kind of that's seems a different that she's thing. Hearing from the other girls.
Well, we don't know, I guess. But, you know, what I mean is that, like, either way.
Because if the girl had come to her with, like, hi, I don't want to be with your friends anymore, then there would have been a kind of conclusion made, I'm imagining, from, like, the text.
Well, either way, if there's no that, conclusion.
Like, out straight kind of thing.
Well, we're just speculating, because either way, if she did come to her and said that, there's still no conclusion, or if she went to her friends, there's even less of a conclusion. So we can only kind of go on what she's saying here. And either they've had some sort of conflict and they haven't resolved it, or she's gone to her mates and they're just gossiping about it. What hasn't happened on either regard is the two of them coming and listening to each other. And I find so many of the times, like, she's trying to, like, you know, ask my friends, and have I been this? And she, am I touchy? Am I a bitch? It's like, when you're trying to resolve something with a friend, you have to, like, lower your walls and actually listen to the person. And, like, even if this girl does, you know, double down and say, like, no, you've been really mean, you've been this and you've been that, just, you know, me and Lindsay said it about, like, our it gal shit gal thing, right? So, like, last year we did the it gal shit gal thing, or this year, sorry, was that, God, that was this year, pre-COVID though. And, like, a couple of people who got voted shit gal took a big offense with him. We're like, okay, you don't get to be a part of that next year. Yeah. The girl doesn't get to be a part of the banter anymore, if you can come to that conclusion.
And that's a really annoying thing, what happens in friendships when, like, I mean, and that was such a, that's a good example, like, with the it gal shit gal thing. We did it for the Gossy Awards, and we just spoke about the outfits, and we were very careful on the podcast, like,
it was
not
a
to
fashion
speak
podcast.
We were talking about the clothing that they were wearing. We weren't talking about, like,
which is why we got Courtney on, who's a fashion expert, to basically chill us out on the personal attacks. Not that we
we didn't say anything personal.
I'm joking, I'm saying that, like, you know.
And then we put it up on Instagram and did a, like, it gal shit gal, because it rhymes with it and it's also funny. And they used to do, like, Hot or Not and, like, New Magazine.
It's
like, been,
like,
an
silly
age old thing. And yeah, a few people, funnily enough, the people who we actually had complimented their outfit had popped off on the gram sharing shit about us, trying to conflate us, you know, making such a massive issue out of, like, a poll on Instagram.
Yeah,
they were, like, literally conflating us to, like, Caroline Flack at one point.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was like, no, seriously, you privileged little bitches, if this is such an issue for you, check yourself. Because like, if you can't just maneuver through, like, daily, like, I get on a bus and I'm slagged by the busman sometimes.
Exactly.
What am I going to do? Never take Dublin bus again.
Well, that's what I was trying to, you know, that's what I'm kind of trying to say, is that, like, look, you, if you and your other friends have this fun little banter going on, then just, she just doesn't get to be part
See
of it anymore.
The door, who cares?
You know what I mean? But, like, you can still, you don't have to have this, like, conclusive friendship breakup. You can try and see her opinion. She can try and, like, you know, you can say to her, like, look, we always used to slag each other. I didn't realise that maybe you've, I don't know, changed your stance on that, which is fine.
And maybe she, you know, sometimes if she is more sensitive than usual, maybe it's like something else.
Exactly.
And she's just like, oh, you know, put it, you know, pushing it out in this.
Because I think we've all done that in friendships too. Like, I've done it, especially where, like, I'll get, like, randomly annoyed at, like, say something Lindsay said when I was just, I'm having a bad week. And but the, you know, you have to have the emotional maturity in your friendships to actually, me and Lindsay do it all the time. Like, we'll text each other and be like, I'm very sorry, I was a little bit annoyed today.
I didn't sleep that well.
Yeah.
I had a fight with my boyfriend.
It's like, speak like you've been in therapy, you know, like, just be completely honest. Don't try and wrap it up in this, like, ego thing, or, like, point the finger at people and be like, you know, Lindsay, I'm sorry I was off today, but you gave me a bit of a look. It's like, no, let's look inwards for a second. Why was I a bit off? Okay, because I had a fight with my dad before I came over. And when you actually are 100% truthful with someone, especially your bestie,
or if you self-reflect yourself,
that's what I mean. You when know? You self-reflect and you're 100% honest, I've never been 100% honest in one of those situations, and the person to be like, you're still a cunt. They're usually like, oh, okay.
Because for the girl who's being a bit sensitive, like, you know, maybe she's just projecting other, like, annoyances that are going on in her life at this girl, because
usually that is what it is.
You know, and you
well.
Do that to the people who you love the most in your life, which is the worst thing about humankind, in my opinion, that we like, literally, you know, people who we love, we treat so badly because we kind of, like, almost take it for granted.
Totally.
But I do think that, give her some time. Maybe she just needs to, like, sit in her own little huff. But if it does begin to, like, really penetrate, like, stressing in your group, and that you can't go away, you can't have nights out because this girl's making a problem, then you need to figure out some kind of, like, conclusion, because that's annoying when one girl is like, I don't like her, she slags me, and I don't want her to come to the weekend.
And they vilify you, which is annoying. But I will say, what Lindsay said earlier is completely true. Short term thing, nip it in the bud, the talking about it in the group. Nip that in the bud, because that will only put in like dividers in your group, and it'll get back to her. It makes it this, like, if there's one person you should be talking to about it, it's her. And if you're not going to talk about it to her, don't talk about it.
If she's not writing back, or if she's...
Don't talk about it. It's no one else's business.
Yeah, then you just continue on as normal. Because, like, the worst thing is if someone... Like, I've had it before with friends where, like, they're having an argument with a mutual friend.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're coming to me and being like, it's just so annoying. It's so... I'm just so... You don't understand. And it's like... Yeah, I'm beginning to see why the fuck you're not friends anymore, because you're so not fun. Anytime I meet up with you, we're talking about how sad it is and how how right you were all the time and how wrong they were and how, like, it's like, oh my God, you're so defensive. Like, so I wouldn't come at it with the level of, like, you know, all my other friends say. It doesn't matter if they don't think that what you said was bad. They don't have the issue with you. Mm. She does. So who gives a fuck what Anya and Susan think? I thought you're really funny. Kerry thinks you're a bloody bitch. So, like, focus on that and don't defend it, because, like, if you want to resolve something, if you're coming
defensive,
defending yourself, it's never going to work. Like, try and meet her at a level and be like, what did I say? Did I say it in a certain way? And configure it out. Because, yes, we all slag and there's, like, hashtag banter going on. But I had to say it once to Evan and Jenny, which we were only lolling about at the party. And
we talk about it all the time.
Because it's so flipping comical. Because I was... I don't know why. Well, I was probably hungover. We were, like, in the pub on a Sunday. Oh, yeah, I was hungover because we'd had this night out. And, like, Evan was like, you were licking arse. And I was like, excuse me? How dare you? How dare you? And then I spoke to my other friend. And he was like, yeah, no, I guess it was a bit slaggy. But clearly he was just being a sounding board of whatever I said. You know when you're around someone, like, do you not think that's absolutely outrageous?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever.
That's what I mean. You've got yes men in your life. And you've, like, there's a few friends that I know I could say something to, and they'd be like, Jenny, you were completely right.
Yeah,
but I know I could say.
That's who you go to when you need that kind of soundboard vibe.
So, like, be wary if these friends are just being like, no, you're being totally cool. It's like, go to your, maybe this girl is your one friend who tells you when you're being a bitch.
Yeah.
Or, and maybe, like, she is touchy, but you'll only find out from her.
And, like, I do think being a woman, it's an annoying thing that we have to deal with, but, like, fucking hell, get over it.
It's just
life. You have to, like, try and configure the balance between being a bitch and being an actual bitch, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's being a bitch, and there's being a fucking bitch, mean girl who's not nice and who is, like, cutting. And there is differences between slagging and it being, you know, banter, or else, like, there's always someone who can take it too far. So, and again, that's, like, everyone has their limits and it's BDSM of the mouth or whatever. But, like, I think,
well,
just don't come in a defensive way.
Yeah.
You've pissed her off. Let's try and sort it out. But don't be like, I did nothing wrong. Because to her, you have. And you have to figure out what she is unhappy about, and, like, you said, you move on and you just don't, she's not involved in the lol joking manners.
And it's also okay that if you have that conversation and you still think she's being sensitive, for you to be like, okay, bye.
Yeah, okay, I'll just, it because it does,
it's
make,
like,
it,
we
feel
can't,
like,
communicate anymore.
Because me and Jenny spoke about that for ages after, because, like, Evan did this, like, he was like, you're looking horse, and he, like, did this impersonation of, like,
rimming
someone rimming, and I was gross. I was like, oh. I was like, how dare you. And then I said it to Jenny and she was like, what? And then, like, I just calmed down. But, like, we had to have that random conversation of being like, hold on, I was being overly sensitive. I slag all the time and I was just, like, being, like, uppity that day.
And everyone is allowed getting those moods. You know, it happens.
And slagging is also beneficial in the sense of, like, it holds a mirror up to yourself. Because if something kind of stings, you know, obviously if it's a past trauma or a death. Or
yeah,
or
but we're
awful,
talking about, like, silly shit at this point, you know?
Yeah, totally. It wasn't anything like that. So, like, sometimes if you were like, okay... Because with your friend group who you, like, tell everything to, and then if you're, like, caught out being a bit of a hypocrite and they call you out and you're like, you are so rude. They're like, well, you...
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Well, it's like, that's the difference, I think, if we're going to talk about navigating being a bitch and being a fucking bitch. It's like, a bitch can, like, poke at you and make little slags and be like, the state of your outfit, or, like, remember that outfit you wore back in 2008 to this? That's being, like, a funny little lighthearted bitch. But then... being an actual bitch is being like, remember when your boyfriend cheated on you and you were fucking devastated?
Yeah, I know.
It's like, there's two very different things. And ask yourself, you know, what was I doing? But ask her, because she's the only one who can tell you.
Because, and, like, I mean, it is just like BDSM. slagging is, because there are some things that, like, you are allowed to say, tap out. That's too much. Don't bring up my granddad. That's too much, you know?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Second question. Hey girls, how soon should you start writing? Started dating a fella I met and we have chemistry. I was so horny after kissing him, etc. on date two, but I don't want it to be all about sex either. I couldn't stop thinking about him banging me today. LOL, we both live with our parents.
I love that. We both live with our parents.
Yeah, just putting that out there.
But okay. It is an important thing as well.
Sex, sex, sex. Let's talk about sex, baby.
Sex, sex, sex. Okay, how, I mean,
I thought this was a good one because we actually haven't really talked about it, and on our ex-gals live the other day we were getting a lot of questions being like, Lindsay, tell us about your dating life, and I'm like, girls, no, like, I mean, I will if there's some like piping hot tea, but I'm not just gonna buy like getting with lads and then be like, okay, ex-girl, you know, it's like,
you have to realize that Lindsay and I obviously have like a sex podcast, and just like someone who's in a relationship, someone who is dating has to navigate a very fine line between like, what am I doing for content, where is the line of what I share and what I won't share, and also getting a name for yourself for being the bitch who goes on dates and just reports everything back to a podcast, yeah, which, like, isn't exactly fair.
Nah, am I going to do that to myself? That's in Dublin City.
Also, unconsensual as fuck.
Unconsensual as fuck. Like, I mean, just hell, no. Like, and also, we make content, we make good content, yeah, and we do that with what we feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But this is why I thought this question would be good, because it will weave in like certain dating talk, but it mm-hmm. doesn't have to be as intimate as like, who the fuck's been in my vagina and what I think of them. To spill to
random men in Dublin.
Yeah, like that. So but what are your thoughts on like sex on the first date, sex in the, like, you know, those kind of rules? Do you have any of those?
No, I don't have any of those rules. My number one rule is just like, have sex when you want to have sex. Mm-hmm. Now obviously the whole thing about sex is you need two people to have sex, you know, on the
two
date, so
people.
You know, I could go into a date being like, this guy's fucking hot, I want to have sex, or I can be on the date being like, I want to bang. And if I'm like saying to the guy like, okay, so where are we going? We going back to yours, going back to mine. I also have to respect the fact that like, not everyone wants to have sex with the person the first time they meet them. Mm-hmm. And that's the conversation. You know what I mean? I mean, I think that it's like, you just, there's no rules, but like, you have to kind of go with the flow and not get in a huff when, you know, and not take it as this like ending point of like, he didn't want to have sex with me on the first date and I did. And it's like, but if it was the other way around, you wouldn't be thinking that way. Like, if you didn't want to have sex on the first date and he did, like, it wouldn't be exactly fun if he was like at you over it. And it's just, all sex is finding someone who has the conversation the same way you do. And, you know, especially with the terms of like, say if someone had this like rule of like a 3-date rule, I personally couldn't really give a fuck about that, in the sense that like, I don't know if I'd be arsed. Like, I don't really want to like stop myself doing something when I want to do it just because of these made up arbitrary rules around like when you should sleep with someone. So maybe he and I may not have, we're not speaking the same language.
And
in
I
bedroom.
Have been in that situation, girls, only recently. And I mean, now that we're not talking about someone who was inside me, we're talking about someone who was like, had those kind of built in rules. Mm. Like, you know, we, like you were saying, like, we went on a date, we like, you know, kissed, etc. It was mm-hmm. all good. And then, you know, I was like, so what do you want to do? And he was like, well, I wouldn't bang you on the first date. Mm-hmm. If I was to do that, it would be his words, not mine, it would be pumping and dumping. And I was like, okay, what? But I just was really confused because, like, in all of my life, it's always been a more of a natural thing. And it's just, like, not been a conversation. Like, say, if I've met someone for, like, a lunch date first, like, then, you know, maybe our next date we'll go out for dinner or, like, drinks, and then it leads to sex or whatever. But, like, I've never really been, I've never started a dating relationship with, like, any kind of sex rules, because for me, being brought up in a religious household where sex was very much shamed, and I can't bring that into my dating life when I'm 33. Like, I just can't fucking do it to myself. And I do not have rules around sex, and I do not have a, like, you must bring me out three times before you get this. It's like, I'm not putting a price on myself. I'm not doing anything like that.
I'm not holding it captive as this prize thing.
It's something
it's
I like. I like sex. And if I meet someone and have chemistry with them and want to have sex with them, and we're kissing and it's like going that way, like, we're, you know, he's a good kisser, and we, you can tell definitely by kissing if you're like, okay, this is going to be good. A lot of the time, not always. But I do think it just kind of really put this weird, like, or in the way, and it was like, I don't understand your conclusion of not wanting to have sex, other than it being kind of like that you would shame a woman for maybe doing it on the first date.
With that term, yeah. But I do think that, like, people connect to people differently. And say you took that term, different guy, right? You can meet up with a guy, and, like, some people, just the first time they meet someone, won't feel comfortable riding them because it is quite an intimate thing. And this is where it comes into, like, not like a shaming aspect or like holding sex as this, like, you know, higher thing, but some people just, that's quite they might not have had a lot of sex, first of all, and they might, or even just not a lot of sexual partners. It can be quite intimidating to some people. Like, there's so many aspects of, like, having sex that, you know, as you and I were quite, like, sex positive and, like, sexually experienced people, you know, that way. And, you know, not everyone is there, say, for example. So, like, you know, I think you have to ask yourself, like, this girl is asking, like,
what? And I understand that. And that was coming from my place of being a 33-year-old woman, a mother of two.
Yeah.
Being on a date with a father.
Yeah.
So I was like, hold on, I understand. When I was, like, in my early 20s, when I first had sex, I, like, my first boyfriend, I think I was seeing him for 3 months before I...
Yeah.
No, my first boyfriend, we didn't have sex. We just dry humped. Second boyfriend, you know, I was kind of doing, you know, everything but sex for ages, and then I had sex. And it was no shame. I was just, like, you know, unpracticed and wanted to stay a virgin because I was taught like that. And then it was like, okay, I'm having sex now. Mm-hmm. Whatever. But I just found it a little different when I was... 33, have, you know, I've had sex, so have you. I don't like the shaming being brought in when it should be, like, at that age, I do feel it should be a completely normal thing. And I don't like the idea.
I don't think it's always shaming, though.
I'm just saying,
if that guy thing, was no, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, with this, it was like words like pump and dump.
That's what I mean. I'm that, like, term.
You're basically,
like,
saying that you see me as dirty after you've touched me with your own hands, and I find that fucking dodgy.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I don't think sex should be, like, and especially it's like, hold on, we were both, what I don't get about the, like, sex on the first date thing, when it's the conversation like, oh, it's doesn't, it's not good at a, you know, way to start a relationship, like, I don't like that.
Okay, guys, spoiler alert, every single one of my relationships barred the first one, which was the only toxic one I've been in, has been sex on the first date.
Yeah,
there's no rules, like, but that's what I mean, it's like, it has to be a reciprocal
but
thing.
But then that's where, like, the conversation of sex comes in, that if you, like, that's where I was like, okay, I don't think we're gonna, I'm gonna vibe with this guy because he sees sex in this different way than I do.
That's what I mean by the conversation.
So, yeah, so it's here, like, and it does make it more complicated when you're both living at home.
Yeah, totally.
So, so that brings a whole other aspect into it, because it's like, first of all, how your parents are with bring home guys, and then it's like, you know, it's your home. It's like bringing them. Is he going to see your mom? Or, like, do you randomly get a hotel for a night? And is that too soon if you've just been dating? So there's all these different kind of intricacies. So I don't think, I think it is different if you're both either, like, living in an apartment by yourselves or have roommates. Like, it does bring a different,
there's just some more freedom into it, you know?
Yeah.
If someone has their own gaff, it's like, that's just another hurdle out of the way. You know what I mean? You don't have the hurdle of, like, their parents, like, being angry that they brought a girl home, or also seeing the mom and dad the next morning, or meeting the parents really early. Like, that can just be seem, but again, it's all more made of rules, you know, the way, apart from like their mother or father being comfortable with it.
Yeah, like, oh, I've been on a certain amount of dates, do I, like, yeah, I hate all those made up rules, like, oops, I accidentally met your mom the third time I met you because we were shagging in your mom's house.
Yeah, it's like, of course, that's circumstantial. You know, that way, like this. Yeah. And you can meet, like, I think it was with, like, my boyfriend from Evan. Like, you know, I met his parents, like, probably the first, like, quote unquote, met his parents.
Yeah.
The first time I stayed in his house. But, like, I didn't meet them.
It,
like,
wasn't like him bringing you over. No. Yeah.
It was like, hi, bye, bye. Yeah. That was it. But, like, you know, so that's not like me, you know, just don't put those, like, labels on it. Like,
no. But then again, with, like, some people do really, like, I mean, a friend of mine went out with this girl for months and she was so protective of her family. Like, some people are really, you know, that's another conversation. Totally. Like, that brings that in a total other conversation, because, like, fair enough, have sex first date, third date, whatever the fuck. But then if it brings in the parents into your sex life, that's a bit of a complicated thing, which happens when you're living at home, you know?
It does, yeah. But, like,
cause, like,
again, it's like, I mean, there's just, people have been fucking with their living at home for years. So it's like, it's not that big of a hurdle, really.
It's like, not that big of a hurdle. It's just like, you have to kind of understand their background more. Because, like, say for me, when I was living at home, there was no way in hell that I could bring a fella back to my gaff. Mm-hmm. My mom and dad are so religious. Like, that would not happen. Mm-hmm. Ever.
Totally.
If I was like, hey, mom, I'm going on a date, we might, like, she'd lock me in the room, you know, like, it wouldn't happen. So you need to maybe, like, on dates, try and figure out each other's home life.
Well, that's getting to know each other.
Yeah.
You know, that way. And, like, so what did she say? Read the question. Like, has she gone on a date, or is this just, like, a general question?
No, she's gone on dates. She started dating a fella and she met him. They have chemistry. She was so horny. But I don't want it all to be about sex. So she's, I think, holding back because she's afraid that if she gives it out too early. But I'm always like, look,
that's,
I'm going to...
That's the biggest lie ever, that rule.
But also, I don't want to fucking do. Like, if I want to have sex with someone... whenever I want it and they want it and we do it, if then they turned it into a one night stand, because that's what, like, that's their own issue.
And, like, as someone who's, like, had one night stands, had three or four night stands, you know, all variants, you included, Linz, like, I've rarely, like, most one night stands happen because you just don't have that much of a connection. Like, really, when you boil it down to it, I would say, like, there is, like, probably is a small percentage of people who are like, I'm just out to fuck and I don't respect her. But, like, personally, that's never come back to me. Or also, like, if she's having this connection with a guy and if she's not like that about sex, like, it would be very random to have such a connection with a guy who is also, like, extremely sex-shamey. Maybe he's asked you back to his gaff, I don't really know. But, like, you just have to, like... Like, that's one night stands a lot of the time, because it just wasn't, like, it can be great sex, but it just, maybe you just don't see them as, like, a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Like, if you're going on dates and you're having this, like, making out, and, like, I'm presuming you're texting and you have this connection, like, I don't project onto him that he's going to have this, like, prehistoric view of sex if he's never given you any reason to think that.
I think, because I asked the dude about it, I was like, here, you know, I want to know more about this, because I'd never been faced with it in such a, like, no, treat it like this, kind of, like, it seemed like he had, I'd never met someone who I think seemed to have it in their head. And I do know that it's mostly women, and it can be men as well, but, like, that they have this, like, 6-date rule, or I must be brought out for dinner rule.
It's so weird.
And I'm like, wow, I need to know more about this. Is this going on around Dublin town, like, these secret unwritten rules?
And if so, will you come on the pod?
Yeah. And if you trip up, are you known as, like, what, a slut, or just a one-night stand? Or, like, what is these rules here? Because I don't know them, and you do, and that's already an unequal thing. But, you know, he did say one point, which I was like, that actually makes a lot of sense, when I was asking him kind of, like, what his thought process was, whatever. Mm-hmm. He was like, you know, you're going out drinking, you're just getting, it's so intense the first time, mm-hmm. your first few dates. Like, you really don't know this person, you talk so much, or you either don't talk a lot or you overtalk. I would be an overtalker.
And a lot of the time when you're an overtalker, me the same, you're not listening to the other person, you're just thinking of the next thing you're going to say.
Yeah, you're just like me, like me,
yeah, it's like,
me.
I can't remember anything he fucking said to me, but I remember literally telling him my confirmation name.
I know, literally. And then, like, if that, you know, you're drinking, you're chatting, you're getting to know him. Suddenly you're back in his house. You're like tearing each other's clothes off. You're on the couch one minute. There's a drink spilled. You're in the other room and then you're banging and it's fumbly. And then the next morning you wake up and you're like, hi. And like all your makeup's kind of half off and you're just like, where the fuck am I again? Okay. And it's like, he was like, if that happened, because we were unsure about how we felt about each other for the first date, but like if we had had sex and then it's like you're, I think in dating, we're all trying to leave with a fucking shred of dignity.
Yeah.
That is what we're trying to do in dating. We're trying to maintain a sense of self dignity and self worth. So if you feel like you're giving something to a man, like giving your body and sex to this guy, and the fear of him being like, well, that's all I want from you, thanks, Mel, on to the next. And it's like,
it's like self-preservation we're just doing constantly. And like, you know, this is like a known like rule in dating, but like realistically we all have little rules of dating in our head. They're just not as like apparent as the sex. Like loads of girls would be like, oh, he didn't put his hand in his wallet for the first date. No, that's not me. Like we all have these little tiny like micro rules that we just invent out of nowhere. And it really is just about finding someone. Like if someone doesn't want to, if you don't want to have sex till the third date and you meet someone who doesn't want to have sex till the third date, happy days. Like that's not a big deal because you both want the same things. And you know, when you're starting to meet someone and get to know someone, wanting like sit the same things on those kind of levels, whether it's like you want to both be like a dom sub kind of vibe in bed, or whether you don't want to have sex for the first month, you want to meet their parents before you even step a foot in their bedroom. You like it. The only time that that really doesn't work is when you're with someone who is like so completely different. Like for me, I would find it very hard for a guy if he was like, on the fifth date we will make sweet love. I'd be like, okay, I'm already terrified.
Literally, what's going to happen?
I prefer like, the messy drunk shy.
I know, I'm but like, some men, the damn way.
Yeah, some people hate that and it might give them anxiety, and we're like, where I or you could walk away from a one night stand and be like, grand soul, got it in. There could be a guy in a bed fucking riddled with anxiety. Who knows?
Who knows? I mean, you know? It is fully stripping down to being completely and utterly new.
Like, imagine
no. And then also insert your penis inside of me, kind sir. It has to be hard.
And hear me make very, very, very vulnerable noises.
Yeah, like animalistic noises, grunt, like in your bedroom. Your bedroom is like, I mean, oh, your bedroom.
And
there's always like the odd period stain on my bed. There's like
a tanned side of the bed.
The mitt is like thrown around.
Oh, because I got ready there from the night before. My makeup's all over the go. Oh my god.
The box of tampons is just strewn around and like weird little ramblings like to do. Like, oh, you know, you're
masturbate.
Like, yeah. Or like buy more like whatever. Yeah. You're just like shit that is in your room.
It's just very like, vulnerable.
Yeah, it's so vulnerable. So
and
yeah.
People hold that vulnerability to different weights. And really what I think, you know, we're getting at here, and I think you'd agree, Milins, is like people can hold sex to like an important weight to them, and that everyone has their own right. Like say if someone is religious or something like that.
But everyone has their own personal relationship with sex.
But for me, it would be a bit of a red flag if there was like judgment and shame and ridicule and this kind of slut shamey kind of ideology. Like, and to be honest, she's kind of putting that on herself, I feel.
She
hasn't said that he has said any of this. She's just like, I don't want it to be all about sex if I have sex with him. It's like,
see, what I don't like about like this kind of idea of where she said like, you know, I don't want it to be all about sex either. Sometimes it's actually great for the start of a relationship to be all about sex, because like
most relationships are,
you don't know like the inner workings of like their soul yet. You know the inner workings of like, or they should know the inner workings of your vagina. That's like the easiest way to kind of, if you connect in that sort of way, you know, like,
well, like just because something's a lot about sex doesn't mean it's all about sex. Like you can be having those like first 3 months of like tearing each other's clothes off kind of vibe of sex. It doesn't mean that you're fuck buddies. It just means that you're like exploring your sexuality before exploring their mind.
Well, I mean, it's a lot. It's like,
it takes a long time to get to know someone.
It really does take a long time to know someone. But it is like, I do think sex is the most like animalistic kind of conversation, especially like when you're getting to know someone and when you're like, so you're saying there's chemistry. So that is like
first tick
that you actually have this like connection and you are like kissing and you can't stop thinking of him banging you and stuff like that. So that primal urge is there. Mm-hmm. And like that is there for a reason. And like I think to get, you know, then, you know, that's where I like, I think you can connect with someone if you like connect in that way and you're both vibing and you're like, okay, that was good sex. Mm. I fucked with that. And then you're kind of slowly getting to know them a bit more, you know?
Because, like, at the start of a relationship, you are just kind of doing that mental tick. You know, it's like, first tick, chemistry, great. Or, like, attracted to them, chemistry, good talker. I like that he's polite to waiters. You know, the next tick is, are we compatible sexually? And, like, you don't want to be spending, because girls can also, a lot of the time, and women, like, we can dedicate a lot of time to one guy. Mm-hmm. Based on very little evidence. You know, we can be like, he's nice to the waiters and he paid for my dinner, so I will be exclusively seeing him from that now on, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want to be seeing someone like for like 3 months and then have sex and they're shite in bed, and then you're like,
waste of time.
And not even that they're shite in bed, that you just have zero sexual compatibility.
That's what we say, what we mean when we say shite in bed. Like, we mean that it's just like kind of, hot botch, like you're not like, wanting the same thing.
We're not speaking the same language.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, that chemistry needs to work there.
It has to be able to, like, you know, go from the like kissing on the street, because like everyone's had it where like you could be having the best kiss of your damn life with a guy and you go back with him and you're like, what the actual fuck was that? And it doesn't always mean you're gonna have great sex.
No, it doesn't. Sometimes it does. It depends on the kiss, I think. Sometimes you can have a kiss and you feel it like in your tummy, you're like, butterflies.
I've had that with guys and had shite sex.
Really?
It's just like, it just depends on their taste. Like, and some guys are great kissers because they haven't had much sex. Like, some guys are just, I've been with guys who are just unbelievable kissers, shite in bed, really bad, can't configure it, don't know how to work a woman, or just very different taste to me. So like, kissing can be an indicator of great chemistry, but it isn't the be all and end all, you know, that way. Like, now, bad kissing very rarely will also translate to like incredible mind-blowing sex.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, just because you had, like, you know, I've had great kisses because I've been like drunk and horny on a
and
date.
And you're just letting loose.
And he's hot. Sometimes a really hot guy can just make you be like, I'm kissing you.
I know, you're like gushing. But
yeah. But like, it doesn't mean like, you know, he's
gushing,
gonna.
Ew. Okay, let's move on.
Someone's listened to the Cardi B song a little too much.
Well, you did force me to listen to it twice yesterday.
Forced once.
Okay, and then I was like, put it on.
Yeah. Okay, last question, and it's a kinky one. So, me fella is into a lot of kinky sex. I'm open to try everything with him that I'm okay with and make him feel comfortable and not judged for his preferences in the bedroom. But he has expressed that he would get turned on with seeing me with another guy, be it flirting, kissing, or actually having sex with them. I'm totally not into this and I've told him so, but I feel like this is a big thing for him and might get in the way of our future together. So, save the best for last.
Let's get kinky, girlies.
It's called being a cook. That is the fetish.
Okay, explain it. I know the fetish, but I can't remember the word. Cook.
Like a cuckold.
Okay.
So it's, let me Google it here. A man whose wife is sexually unfaithful, often regarded as an object of derision. So it's very much like the man is getting off that you're getting with a different guy and it makes him feel inferior. It's a submissive kind of kink.
And we actually got a few tumblers about women who would consider themselves submissive and their boyfriends are also submissive and they're trying to configure their sexual relationship, which...
That would be hard.
And I mean, it does take a while. Like, we were just talking about, like, sex. It takes a while to even understand someone's true sexual desires. Like, sometimes on the first date, they can be, you know, you may, or the first few months having sex with someone, you may not notice that they are leaning more on the sub side because...
Or sometimes guys can start off really dominant and then as you get to know them, you're like, you're not that dominant.
Yeah.
Because they, it's like, I don't know, they feel that that's what they should be or
totally.
Whatever.
I do think
know.
A lot of... I think that's the kind of like expectation on men's sexuality, that they should be the
totally
dominant one. So maybe they like cosplay a little bit and then they're like, by the way.
And I could imagine doing that if I was like a dominant female as well. Like, if you meet a dominant guy, you probably would be a bit more of a switch. And then maybe as your relationship progresses, you might be like, I like to tie you up. You know, it's like, that's just how it is, how it is. And I know from a lot of my gay friends as well, that can happen where like, if two guys, so one of my friends would be like, you know, a kind of a top and a bottom, but like he would be the more likely one in a relationship if he met another top to bottom. Okay. But he would not really be loving that all the time, you know what I mean? So like, yeah, he had one relationship where like they were both pretty much tops, but my friend kind of was like, okay, I'll bottom because you like topping so much, but then like it became an issue in their relationship because he was like, I also like to top sometimes, so like throw me a goddamn bone, no pun intended. Ooh, I'd like to throw you a big bone.
So do you think that you can, you know, be with someone who doesn't have that, like, do you think it matters a lot about like the sub and the dom
In this situation or just in general?
In general, before we delve right into this one, just because I know that there was a few questions like this, and some of the questions were kind of saying, if we are both subs, and we, like one girl was saying that they kind of switch it up sometimes, like she'll pretend to be the dom.
Yeah,
and
I then read that question. Yeah.
And it's kind of like, she was like, but is this sustainable if we aren't really?
It depends on, like, I mean, all of these things exist on a spectrum. You know, like some people are like completely submissive. And some people are completely dominant, but a lot of people probably are kind of switches as well, you know? So it depends on like where you lie on that spectrum. Could I personally have like a successful and flourishing sexual relationship with a man who was on the like lower end of like, you know, very, very submissive? No.
And what do you mean lower? Like as in wanting you to...
No, as in like he was very submissive.
Yeah. Could you deal with a man who... you know, was more vanilla submissive?
Personally, I couldn't know. It's not something that I don't mind a man who's just like maybe a dom switch. Like every now and again, the guy, like, I don't know. But like, you know, vanilla submissive to me is still like, I'm in the dominant position. And for me, that's personally not really something that I am interested in sexually at all.
And that's kind of what we have with this question. She is saying that he has brought up the subject of him.
Now, she hasn't said anything about her and him being both being submissive or anything.
No, I was just bringing that up from other questions.
What do you think on it, though?
Whether you can have a sexual relationship.
Like, just that whole conversation about, like, being the same.
I think... I do think it depends on whether someone really does... kind of is, if someone really is in that submissive or dom like personality. I do think most of the time I've met people who would be more like switches. I don't think I've really, really been with people who are like very much a sub or very much a dom, you know?
That's what I mean. Yeah, like I think the majority of people probably are switches in some extent.
Yeah.
Like, but like anything in
I
the
mean
world.
For me, a submissive man, like, if I had to be the one to kind of instigate sex, if I had to be the kind of like, come on, like, I would not be down for that at all.
I would think...
And if a guy was saying that he would find it attractive if I was like getting with hot guys, that would really turn me off him, because he is basically, like you were saying, like, it's the inferiority that he's getting off, and that I get off a man being like feeling like a strong person and like able and confident. That is what I'm attracted to. So it's like, it's not even just about like the sex, it's about like, you know, the whole embodiment of the person, you know? Like, I don't think
it
I'd be comfortable
be,
with
but,
in this sense of like, I don't think I'd be comfortable with the guy that I am with wanting to be like humiliated by other men. That would turn me off.
I get you. But like on what you said, like I don't always think that someone's like sexual personality marries always to their, has to marry, especially when you're talking about like, say, this guy who is possibly like, you know, quite into being, you know, quite submissive. You know, he's not really a switch. He is a sub. That doesn't necessarily mean that he is a sub in his normal life. So this could be the most dominant dude. So that's where the attractiveness could... Like, for example, like, I'd be submissive in bed, but I'm not, like, a submissive girl. And, like, I don't think any guy who's been attracted to me definitely hasn't wanted me for my submissive side in the non-bedroom. Like, I'm hardly going around being like, okay, master, you're sample. You know what I mean? So there is a way of unmarrying the two.
There is, but I think in the sense of a submissive man, which is a whole different issue, it is just sold... Society sells us that, like, whether you're a boss bitch... in general, but at home you're like, daddy's a little slut that can do it. You know, that's a whole cosplay where I don't think it exists as much around a man who is like super dominant in work and then going home and like being wanting to be feel like disempowered like in the bedroom.
Well, unless you meet a woman who also is into that, because yeah, there are like, dominant women out there. And I know, look,
that what I'm saying is that it's not as celebrated.
Totally.
Like,
but she is celebrating it to an extent. Like, she's saying it, that doesn't really seem to be the problem. The problem here is that he's pushing a boundary. Like, well, she's saying that she's into and doing the submissive kinky shit that he's
into. I don't think he's pushing it. I think sometimes you're in a situation with a partner and they offer some, they put something on the table that there is a desire of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
That you can fulfill, and you can feel a bit like, are you going to be fully satisfied? And it's hard. You're like, I'm not fully satisfied if you're not fully satisfied, but I don't want to like do something that I don't find sexually pleasing or desire myself, yeah, to please you. It's so you're trying to figure out this like balance of like satisfying sex whilst like bringing in your different like kinks.
Yeah, and we're really not talking vanilla kinks here. This would be, I would consider like quite, verging towards like lifestyle BDSM kind of kink. Like, it's not like, I would like you to use handcuffs on me in the bedroom, and like, I'm not comfortable doing that. It's like, he is he has expressed that, you know, he is interested in, you know, seeing her with another man, be it flirting, kissing. So he's given her like different variants of it, but it is like quite an extreme jump. Now, I don't know what they've done before, but like, that's like having someone else in your relationship, be it for a night or whatever, but like, you know, it's not like a very normal thing that you'd be asked in it, even like in a vanilla kink situation. So it's not like, you know, a guy being like, I'd love to rim you, and you being like, ugh. It's like, I can understand why she would be, you know, if it feels to me like she only really in this message mentions his preferences and her kind of abiding by his preferences, and she's not really given me much inclination, and again, I'm speculating on like it being very reciprocal. Like, it seems like, yeah, he's into kinky sex, so she makes sure that he's not feeling judged and that she's doing all the kinky stuff. Well, but then she's afraid to kind of be like, that's my boundary, you know?
I don't know if she seems afraid. I think she's saying that like it is, it's like a deal breaker sometimes. It's like when you're sitting across from your boyfriend and they're saying, I'm going to travel the world, and you're saying, I want to save for a house. But in sex. Because, yeah, he's saying, for me to be satisfied sexually and to be fully pleasured, and what I desire in my sexual life is to see you getting, like, you know, pushing it out a bit more. She's doing what she feels comfortable with, but he's saying that it's, he has these other desires. And that can feel, I do find, like, it can really squash people into a corner. And a lot of the time, like, some people, like, we were talking about, like, our sexual experiences. Like, I would feel like it's not spoken about to kind of meditate on what your desires are. You know, some people are born with the knowledge of like, I am a dom or I am a sub, and this is what gets me off. So other people, you have to kind of explore, like, what do I actually like?
And I think everyone has to explore. I don't think anyone is.
No, like, but I mean, for some people, maybe if they have more like extreme, like if he's saying that this is something he's taught, this is something he wants to actively pursue. So,
well, he hasn't really. She said that he's expressed it would turn him on. So what I'm thinking is, I think she's taking it like, she's putting it kind of above maybe her own wishes to an extent. Because like, yes, he's expressed it, but like, that is kind of, you know, if they are having, say, like, you know, kinky kind of sex where she's being dominant, maybe he is kind of trying to figure out where her boundaries are as well. Because that is the whole dom sub kind of conversation, like having it outside of the sex, being like, another thing that I'd be interested in is this. And, you know, that can be it can be a hard thing if she's not like a natural dom, which she's kind of expressed that she's not really. She's kind of more like, you know, open to trying things. She's a bit of a switch, maybe. I do feel that like, this is like an aspect for her to express like boundaries and kind of be like, not only think of his needs, like her needs are equally as important. And if her needs are that, like, that is an absolute, like, that's a no for me. You don't have to be like, I think it's a big thing for him and it's gonna like mess up our relationship. It's like, he has to then listen to her boundary and respect it, you know, that way. And that has to be a conversation, like it's been a conversation with all the other stuff you've tried.
And I think it's like, within, say, like our sexual desires, there is, with relationships, I feel like sometimes we can feel so like we have to completely fulfill our partner's desires, sexual, like, you know, what they want and like everything like that. And then we get some messages of girls being like, my boyfriend still watches porn. Why is he doing that if he's satisfied with me? To kind of put that on you to be like completely sexually satisfied by your partner is a lot, because, you know, guys will always have, like, you know, men like watch porn, women watch bloody Love Island, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's a lot. So if he is saying that is something that would turn you on, make sure that you're not like gaslighting yourself and being like, I can't do that for him. And like also putting yourself in a position of like doing something that you really don't want to do. Like, focus on, with this kind of shit, like, never do something that you don't want to do. Now, obviously, that is like vague. There's sometimes, like, you know, a position that you're like not that mad about, but you do. But like, if it's like something you really actively don't want to do, don't push yourself down a road to kind of feel like you have to. And don't make it a bigger issue, because, like, as well, sometimes you say things in sexting or in bed that, like, you don't really, like,
I was just about to say
mean,
that.
You
like,
know?
There's also, like, a space for her here to kind of navigate whether he is having kind of sexy, dirty fantasy talk, or is he literally being like, I would really like us to consider a cuckolding situation, you know, like, and that is a conversation.
Well, if it's something that he needs to be fulfilled in this relationship, I think that's what she needs to kind of,
but that's what I mean, it's like out, is he doing it in a like, oh, do you know what would turn me on, because we've all, it's like sexting IRL, like we've all done that, like I've heard guys say crazy things like, I'd love it if this and that. It's never come to reality. It's very much been an obvious conversation between us that we're having this like wild fantasy.
Well, sometimes
talk.
you'll be like, yes, and then next week they're like, so we're going up to the Sugarloaf, and remember you said that I was rimming you and then pushing it in your dick while my friend watched, and you're like, oh, I thought we're just fooling around. So if it kind of gets to that point where like you know, you don't owe him anything, you don't owe him like this fucking experience or whatever, regardless if you've like, you know, dabbled in this like world that you're not overly into or whatever, doesn't mean that you have to like totally go for it. Like I said, you don't owe this guy, like you don't owe your partner like complete and utter fulfillment sexually, because that's like,
it's impossible. And I feel like she kind of has put this onus on her, because maybe she's put it on herself. Like, just when I'm reading how she's worded, she's like, I'm open to try everything that I'm okay with, and I always make him feel comfortable and not judged and all this. And I'm, you know, you're being very, very hospitable to his needs.
It's like the hangover of the Catholic Church. I honestly do think it really is something that Ireland is dealing with right now. The hangover of the Catholic Church in regards to, like, sexuality, because I think, like, say I was brought up with masturbation being, like, seen as a sin, and, like, your husband shouldn't do it, your boyfriend shouldn't do it, it's a sin, they are like lusting after other, you know, it was a conversation that was said to me like so often in my, from like 12 upwards, this was brought into my psyche, and now that has left me, and I'm sure other people, regardless if they were brought up in it, has made me think that like I have to be everything sexually to a guy,
sure,
to fulfill them, because they can't get it from porn, or they can't get it from like any other desire other than
otherwise
me. It has to
bad.
Be funneled into me and my being able to like satisfy and fulfill. And it's a lot to take on, and it is a lot to like, I mean, it's like to say, you know, yeah, it's just it's a wild thing to think. So maybe that's just something that she is like putting,
she's putting a lot of pressure on herself, I think. And you know, if he is like, you know, if you're kind of being like this hospitable to his needs, which is great, you know, and hopefully he's being as hospitable to yours, you know, you should be able to, you know, approach this kind of question of like another man, if it's flirting or kissing or having sex, as you're saying, you know, you can say that to him, be like, this is not really an avenue. Like, that's kind of my whatever, like my hurdle, my last one.
I'm like, I just
this
don't
is,
want to do that.
It's my line. Like, that's, we've kind of got to the point now where like all the other stuff, cool, great, but that's my line. And that you have to be able to, you know, that will be the like breaking point in a relationship, where if you can't communicate those things and be like, that's not something I want. Exactly like you said, Lindsay, like if Evan turned around to me next week and was like, right, houses are a little bit too expensive here in Ireland, so I'm thinking Peru. Absolutely no way.
Yeah.
And I have to be able to be like, nah, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, we live together for however long and we've been saving and doing all this stuff together, but if that's what you, if this is your utmost, and I might be able to say that to Evan, he'd be like, oh no, I was just throwing the idea out there, that's grand if you don't want to do it,
yeah,
let's go on to the next one. And
this
guy,
about being on the same, and like, I mean, it is important to be on the same page sexually, because then it also helps the conversation a lot of the time outside,
yeah,
you know?
You just have to be able to bring these things up. And if he is someone who is maybe experienced in BDSM or like kind of more like kinky sex, he might be experienced in having that kind of conversation of someone being like, that's my line. He might be like, okay, perfect.
And you, and if he's not, he has to become experienced, because if you have a kink that is like, you know, you have to be become experienced. You have to like gather knowledge from like, how do I bring up this kink, how do I explore this, like, yeah. how, because if he's saying like, I mean, because I can't stand, and I've met them motherfucking before, subs, inverted commas, who are like pushing you to do stuff that you don't want to, I'm like, that's not fucking submissive,
yeah,
you know,
it's just not polite or cool either, like, yeah, and it's, and no one sub switch or dominant, yeah, it's should like, ever, it should always should, be a conversation. It should never be.
You should
be,
never be pushed to do something that you don't want to do sexually or otherwise.
No. And one person's needs should never trump the other person's.
No.
And that's just because then it's just not fair and it's not comfortable and it's purely for his enjoyment. And yes, there can be kinks in relationships that like you can be like, ah, I'll throw him a bone, I'll lick his hole or something.
Yeah.
You know? But like when it is something like that, that's quite a, I would consider for a relation, a vanilla relationship, that would be a quite an intense kink to explore.
Well, that's what happens, I think, with kinks in general. Like if you start off and then like someone can present a kink and you're like, whoa, I have nothing. I think that's where, like you were saying, like no one's kink trumps the other person's mm-hmm. desire or whatever. And that's where I think it can be a bit of a difficult conversation to maneuver. And that's where you have to kind of funnel your like thoughts into what are your desires, like mm-hmm. just because like you may not have any wild kinks, you do have sexual desires
totally.
And like something that will like fulfill you, so focus on that and like bring that to the table when he's saying like, well, I need this to fulfill me, you're like, well, I don't need that to fulfill me, so it's like a conversation that maybe needs to happen, but it may be easier, you know, don't do it in the bedroom, do it like away from the sex. And
and you can also explore those things in a non-actual invasive way as well, like it can just be dirty talk in the bedroom, you know, or it can be like, you know, if he, it doesn't mean you have to physically do it to get him off, like it can be a thing, it doesn't have to be a complete shutdown, you know, you can be like, look, I'll role play, I can, you know, do some sort of sexting fantasy with you where I can pretend I'm out with the guy and you can wank off to it, you know, there's healthy ways that you can bring it in that isn't like, if you're afraid of completely shutting him down, there's ways you can do that, but it will always just start off with you having that first awkward conversation, which isn't that awkward really, you know, you're just gonna have to be honest,
it will always just start off with,
and that's it,
that first awkward conversation, which isn't that awkward,
so I hope we helped you answering those questions. Keep them coming when we do the Q&A.
Exactly.
We love them kinky,
so
I
hope we helped you
and
shorten
to
the point
questions. Keep them coming when we do the Q&A. We love them kinky, we love them fresh, like
short
to the point. Yes. So it would be the whole podcast being like, and then he fingered her. So
especially kinky,
we'll see you next
shit.
Week
we
for more juicy shit. Sign up to X-Gals if you want extra content, extra juice. That's where we talk about our kinky shit. And that is when I do start, like, you know, if I'm dating someone,
bye,
it's gonna be a thing. If
bye.
I'm gonna be talking about not it here. There.
Bye gals.
Bye bitches.
Bye.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.